From the Center for Investigative Reporting and PRX, this is Reveal. I'm Al Letson. We've been following one unit of the U.S. Marines, Alpha Company, from the Battle of Fallujah to life after combat. 20 years ago, they saw some of the toughest fighting of the war in Iraq and in the history of the U.S. Marine Corps. But for some of them, the hardest part came after the war, as they worked to overcome military bureaucracy and their trauma. Reporter Jim O'Grady has the rest of our story.
Pam Wall is a psychiatric nurse practitioner who spent 20 years in the U.S. military. She says many Marines who served in Iraq were poorly prepared for the psychological toll.
So boot camp teaches them how to be a Marine. They teach you the skills to do what you need to do. But when you are faced with trauma, they don't teach you, or they didn't at the time, how to deal with that and how to manage that when you come home.
According to the VA, roughly a third of vets from the Iraq War will develop PTSD at some point in their lives. That's roughly three times more often than Vietnam vets who are alive today. Treatment can help, but not everyone wants it. And if they do, it's not always accessible.
Let's say they're active duty and their commands are not supportive of them going to seek mental health care, and they're engaging in self-soothing, such as drug use. There are rules in the military against certain substances.
The Uniform Code of Military Justice is clear. When members of the armed forces use illicit drugs, they're subject to punishment. But the VA is also clear. Vets with lifetime PTSD are three times more likely to struggle with drug use. So the question is about balance between maintaining discipline, the backbone of any military, and offering understanding to those who've been wounded not just in body, but in soul.
Each case needs to be considered about what's happening and what is causing the substance use. I think anybody who has a trauma background and who has seen combat deserves a deeper dive. And I've dealt with cases like that where I've stood up for that service member and said, hey, this is directly related to the trauma that this person has seen.
Speaking to Pam near Arlington National Cemetery, I bring up Ronaldo and his survivor's guilt.
Guilt is very specific to trauma. Trauma carries with it, I could have, should have, would have, didn't.
Then there's the issue of Ronaldo's punishment. First, there was the discharge that took away most of his benefits. Then came the public shaming in front of his fellow Marines. Pam says she can't comment on the case directly because she doesn't know the full story. But she does say this.
I think we have good leaders and bad leaders, and we learn how leadership should and shouldn't be done from both.
So that was bad leadership.
When you are trying to correct someone, that should be done in private. I keep saying this over and over again. Substance use is a mental health disorder, and it needs to be treated.
What's the right amount of punishment for troops who return from war with psychological wounds and break the rules? And what's the right amount of treatment? I put those questions to the Pentagon. The Pentagon referred me to the Public Affairs Office at Marine Corps headquarters, but I never heard back. I also emailed the Commandant of the Marine Corps, General Eric M. Smith, and again, I never heard back. So I reached out to someone who would talk. Rob Bracknell spent 22 years in the Marines, first as a combat arms officer in a tank battalion, and then as a military lawyer. He worked for 15 years in the military justice system, starting out as a prosecutor and then as a staff judge advocate, basically advising commanders on decisions around court-martials and non-judicial punishments. Rob has seen a lot of cases like Ronaldo's, and when I ask him about the public shaming, he's blunt.
It's commanders flexing without having to worry about the costs that are being imposed on the system or the individual. It's just categorically stupid and immature, but you see it.
But on the issue of combat vets who commit misconduct, he tries to weigh competing concerns.
If you're struggling, you have an obligation still to conform your conduct to the norms that the law requires and that the Marine Corps culture requires.
In other words, the rules are the rules.
But the institution still doesn't abdicate all of its responsibility to these guys just because they screw up, because they still have these internal wounds that are born of combat, and then we kind of throw them to the wolves a little bit.
Especially, he says, if a Marine uses substances.
I'm super sympathetic when people self-medicate with alcohol, right? Cocaine, I mean, that's a party drug. That's a little bit tougher a case to make to me, you know what I mean?
But Rob also says you need to consider the context of the Iraq War, especially its length and brutality.
It's harder when guys come back from the nasty kind of combat these guys saw in Fallujah and Ramadi and a thousand other places, right? But Fallujah was particularly intense. When we'd go to a ceremony or something like that, and people would talk about the legacy of the Marine Corps, there was Iwo Jima, there was Belleau Wood, there was Way City. Now they talk about Fallujah in the same terms. It is the iconic battle from Iraqi freedom. And so it represents the intensity of combat that reaches the stuff of lore. And so we take guys who came back out of that and we sort of treat them just like the guys that were serving in 1999, in 1997, 1984, when they weren't in combat at all. They were just doing routine stuff. It's fundamentally kind of not fair that we didn't adjust any of the standards to account for that. I think we should have probably made some systemic adjustments and given people more rights to bring evidence in of their trauma.
It's been more than 18 years since Rinaldo Aponte left the Marines without many of his VA benefits because of an other than honorable discharge. But now there's a chance he could change that. On a Zoom call a couple of months ago, Rinaldo spoke of a new law that could bring him benefits based on his service in combat zones.
Because of the hazards from the burn pits and stuff like that. So that's kind of my gateway in.
Did you deal with burn pits?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Our feces and stuff had to be disposed of somehow. And we burned it.
That must have been a nice aroma.
Yeah, it was horrible.
Horrible and a widespread problem.
The U.S. military used burn pits to dispose of waste on foreign bases like in Iraq and Afghanistan. Rare cancers and respiratory illnesses were later found to have been caused by toxic fumes from burning rubber, chemical waste, and ammunition.
In the summer of 2022, President Biden signed a new law expanding VA benefits for veterans exposed to burn pits.
As a nation, we have many obligations. I've been saying this for a long, long time. We have many obligations, only one truly sacred obligation: to equip those we send into harm's way and to care for them and their families when they come home.
Rinaldo applied for the benefits in 2024. Well, really, he applied to apply. First, he has to be found eligible. That's application one. If approved, he can then move on to application two, a request to receive the VA's standard medical benefits package. It's a lot of applying, and to be honest, it's not off to a flying start.
They did respond to me and told me that they could not find any of my service-related information. So I had to send them my DD-214.
The DD-214 is his discharge documentation, which includes the words other than honorable. But he has a chance to change that too. Rinaldo is 41 now, and his discharge still bothers him. He's proud of his service as a medic at the Battle of Fallujah, and he wants to be back in better standing with the Marines.
I went on two deployments. I went to Iraq.
You saw combat?
Yeah.
You were wounded?
I was not wounded.
How about psychologically?
Yeah.
So you did offer a pretty big sacrifice through your service.
I did, and I feel as if the least they could do is give me those things.
Rinaldo was seeking a discharge upgrade that would raise his status to the level above other than honorable, freeing him from the stigma that goes with it. Christy Bagalow is a lawyer with the Veterans Consortium, a pro bono legal program for vets. She says that since 2023, the VA has been granting more upgrades, and word about that has been spreading fast.
The discharge upgrade portion of our nonprofit gets about 1,000 phone calls and about 200 online intakes per month.
With Reynaldo's permission, we asked her to review his discharge documents.
It is very common to see other than honorable discharges for one-time drug use, even one-time marijuana use, which is, you know, legal in some states now, but there's still zero tolerance in the military. The cases we are looking to help veterans with are cases where we can argue there's some sort of mental health condition that mitigated the misconduct.
The VA recently ruled that the list of possible mitigating conditions now includes PTSD.
War trauma, self-medicating with substances. I will say cocaine is tough to argue about. And I see that's what he was discharged for. Like a doctor would never prescribe that for calming down your PTSD symptoms, you know, like they might prescribe medical marijuana. So it's a big hill to climb for sure, but it has happened. We have gotten upgrades.
But there are no guarantees.
Nothing is automatic. Nothing is easy. It is really hard to get an upgrade because the board presumes the military did everything right. And they're not going to help you prove anything.
Bagalow says it'll largely be up to Reynaldo to make his case. He'll need to submit a statement saying he's sorry and back it up with words of support from his fellow Marines.
To kind of refocus the board on the rest of their military service, not just the one mistake.
Right, right. Well, I heard from his fellow soldiers in his unit, they corroborated his story.
Good.
About his suffering and guilt about the loss of one of their comrades in battle.
Right, I believe it.
These efforts are obviously important. But there's already a world in which Reynaldo and the members of his Alpha Company unit have had their honor affirmed. Far from bureaucracy, forms, and lawyers, it rests on the word of Kathleen Faircloth, mother of Lance Corporal Bradley Faircloth.
I'm not mad because my son died. It wasn't their fault, you know, and I think that's super important that they really know they are not responsible. And I don't think some of them believe that, but what a burden to carry.
She misses her boy, but sees something of him in these Marines he knew. Since the war, they've had a few of these reunions. At first, there wasn't much opening up about what happened. But now...
they can talk about it without completely shutting down.
Once a year, Kathleen tries to visit Michael Meadows, the Marine who was behind Bradley when he died. And she appreciated it when in 2005, after Hurricane Katrina ripped up her roof and blew down her chimney, some of the guys drove 13 hours from Camp Lejeune to Alabama and stayed until they'd fixed it.
I cooked and fed them and we drank beer for 2 days. And I just loved them.
She says they're not her family. But that's how it feels sometimes. By now, it's a feeling she counts on.
I'm eternally grateful that they give a crap about me. I mean, like, I don't deserve it. I'm so grateful that they even care. You know, my first Mother's Day, they sent me flowers. It just broke my heart. They spent money on me. It just killed me.
Today's show was reported and produced by Jim O'Grady. Brett Myers edited the show. Thanks to Thomas Brennan, Mike Frankel, and Ann Marshall Chalmers at the nonprofit newsroom, The Warhorse, which partnered with us to produce today's episode. You can read their excellent military reporting at thewarhorse.org. And to keep up with Reveal, be sure to sign up for our newsletter, a once-a-week roundup of our latest investigations, plus updates on the stories you loved and so much more. Sign up at revealnews.org/newsletter. Nikki Frick is our fact-checker. Legal review by James Chadwick. Victoria Baranetsky is our general counsel. Our production managers are the Wonder Twins, Stephen Rascone and Zulema Cobb. Score and sound design by the dynamic duo, Jay Breezy, Mr. Jim Briggs, and Fernando, my man, Yo Aruda. Our interim executive producers are Taki Telenidis and Brett Myers. Our theme music is by Camarado, Lightning. Support for Reveal is provided by listeners like you and the Reva and David Logan Foundation, the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation, the Jonathan Logan Family Foundation, the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation, the Park Foundation, the Schmidt Family Foundation, and the Hellman Foundation. Reveal is a co-production of the Center for Investigative Reporting and PRX. I'm Al Ledson, and remember, there is always more to the story.
From PRX.